Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together Baha'aloscha Shlishi, the third Aliyah in Parshas Baha'aloscha. It is only 14 psukim long from Perek Tesin Bamidbar, Pasuk Aleph to Yudalad, but it is packed about the topic of Pesach Sheni. It was actually Pesach Rishon as well. Let's take a look inside. The general summary of the Aliyah is as follows. In the second year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands the nation of Israel to keep the Korban Pesach in accordance with all its laws, and it's going to be done on the 14th of the first month. That's what we call today Nisan. However, there were people who were impure because of coming in contact to the dead, and they could not bring the Korban Pesach at its appointed time. So they came to Moshe and Aaron, they made the request, Lama Nigora, why should we not have the opportunity? Why should we lose out the opportunity from bringing the Korban Pesach at its appointed time? And Moshe says, let's see what Hashem says about it. Moshe Rabbeinu was unique in the sense that he could take a break and get response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Most other Nevi'im would only have communication in dreams. So Hashem then speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu and tells him that a person who is impure or is far away, b'derech rakayka, may bring a Korban Pesach in the second month, in fact, Iyar, on the 14th of that month. And emphasizing the number of the laws, it has to be eaten with matzah and maror, it can't be left over night, the Korban Pesach should not have any bones broken, or a lot of laws which pertain to the Korban Pesach itself. And we're told that a person who is ritually pure and is not far away but doesn't bring a Korban Pesach will be responsible for their sin and cut off from the Jewish people. And finally, the Aliyah closes with emphasizing that even the convert will bring Chukah Achas, or the same law, will bring the Korban Pesach. That's the general contents of the Aliyah. A few basic points to ponder. Number one is this parasha occurs in Nisan, but Bamidbar starts in the second month, which is Iyar, when the counting occurs. So why is this put later? Rashi explains, because this was the only Korban Pesach that they were to bring in the Midbar. And so to de-emphasize the shame of the next 38 years being the omission of the Korban Pesach, it is tucked in later on. Why did they not bring the Korban Pesach? The Ramban brings a few suggestions, but the one that he adopts is that because afterwards they had children who were born in the desert and they couldn't circumcise them because of an issue of the climate. There was a change in climate. They didn't have a certain northerly wind which would be healthy. Why did that wind cease? So the Ramban explains, because of the Chet Hamaraglin, the sin of the spies, whether that means they didn't have access to the land of Israel when they should have, or that spiritually and metaphysically actually something changed, making it dangerous, it was not in their merit. However, the Ramban does point out that they would, of course, keep Pesach for 7 days. They would have Pesach and eat matzahs like we do today, when we don't have the Korban Pesach, but we keep Pesach in all other paraphernalia. It's fascinating. That may be why the air in the Seder on the night of Pesach, in the section called Korech, where we eat Zecher and Migdash Hillel, the way Hillel used to eat his sandwich, the pasuk we quote over there in that Zecher and Migdash is Al Matzah Sumerorim Yochluhu. They'll eat it with matzah and maror, which is actually a pasuk from here in Baha'u'llah, Pesach Sheni. Why does the Torah use a pasuk in Pesach Sheni, not Pesach Rishon? Shmoy's Perek Yud Beis. And the part of the reason might be is because Pesach Sheni is the anticipation for a better time, when it could be that it's all going to work out. And that's in a certain sense as well, B'nai Yisrael, who were sort of hoping for a better time after this as well. How is the Korban Pesach here in the month of Nisan, the first time around, different from the last time they did it? Well, if you remember, the last time they did the Korban Pesach, it was actually saving their lives as they left Egypt. It was what allowed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect them from the Negev, from the plague that was going through Egypt. Here is the first time we have the commemoration, not the action, which means to say that this is the first Pesach which is now commemorating that miracle, which is a remarkable idea. It's not the actual miracle itself, it is the ritualization and the transmission to the future generations of what that experience was, which is very significant. That's what the Ramban says. Now, who are these people, who are these folks who are impure and can't bring the Korban Pesach? The Gemara in Sukkah and Dav Chavov and the Sifrei bring a discussion, three opinions. They could be the bearers of Yosef's bones, who are impure. Could have been Elisaphon and Mishael, who are carrying the bones of Nadav and the bodies of Nadav and Avihu, who just previously passed away. Or could be regular Tamei Meis, people who are impure because of coming in contact with the dead, whose seventh day of the purification process using the Parah Adumah ashes was on Erev Pesach, so there was two close to the bell. The Ha'emek Dover of Natali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin points out that, of course, and this even Ezra points this out, in any population, there's just by statistics, there are going to be people who die. So there have to, you know, there have to be people who die in a population at a certain given range. So there would have been people impure. But the Rav Naftali Tzvi Berlin explains the reason why there's an emphasis on these folks is because it says there's an emphasis that I show you to Maimon and Nefesh Adam, emphasizing almost as if these people were unique. In that they could have been pure, but they didn't. So what does that mean? They could have been pure. These are people who felt that their role and goal in doing the job that they were doing was superseded the becoming tahar at the right time, which is why they're asking this question as well. Okay. It is interesting to note, actually, just this last year, somebody asked me a question where they said they got corona just before Pesach and they spent the entire Pesach bebidud in isolation in their room and they missed Pekom Pesach, and so they kind of made a mock seder on the Pesach sheni, missing it. But it is something worthwhile thinking about, is we don't get an opportunity to do too many mitzvahs a second time if you miss it. So why is it that Pesach is one of these opportunities? Leave that for further for thought as well. Another couple of questions. What would have happened if this group had not come forward to Moshe Rabbeinu and not made this request? Would this law have existed? Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Makos, says, of course it would have existed. Pesach Sheni is an objective law. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for them to be the ones to suggest it because of the principle, Magalgalin Zuchus Al Yedei Zakai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to allow righteous people to be the one to deliver righteous tidings. So he allowed them to facilitate this halacha. Therefore, they will always be known as the people who brought this halacha into being as well. We should always look for opportunities in our lives to be the vehicle of goodness. And finally, one last question is, what is the relevance of adding the fact that the ger, a convert, does bring a korban Pesach? Of course, all of Klal Yisrael brings a Pesach. Why is the ger included specifically? So Aruch HaMakadosh brings two reasons. One is because the chi of kares, the being cut off from the Jewish people, depends on missing both number one and number two, Nisan and Iyar. And if a person converted in the middle of those two Pesachs, therefore that would not operate in the same way. So it's important for both Pesachs to be missed for the chi of kares to kick in. But another possibility is, one may say, well, this is to commemorate something that happened to our ancestors. If somebody comes from a different ancestry, maybe you'd say not. So the Torah is saying, no, that's not a correct calculation. In fact, the Gerim are considered part of Israel and can commemorate the same experiences that every other Jew experienced as well. With this, we close the third Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.